And we're on the air. So we're here to talk about SVG on Channel 9 Live. And I'm here with Doug Sheppers from the W3C and Patrick and Ted from the IE team. So let's quickly do some intros. So so Doug, just tell us a little bit about what you do with the W3C.
Sure. I'm the W3C team contact for the SVG and the Web Apps Working Groups. And so I help coordinate activities between between browser vendors and members, and I help edit the specifications, write the technical specifications, which are sort of the blueprints that the browsers follow.
Cool. So you've been living for this standard for quite a while, right?
I have been developing SVG web applications for the past 10 years.
All right. So Patrick, how about you?
So I'm a senior program manager in the Internet Explorer group, and I've been primarily almost daily working on SVG for, you know, it's funny because I can remember calling Doug last August, and I think it's the first time I heard a jaw drop over the phone about us doing SVG and IE, so that's what I worked on.
Yeah, that's when the speculation started. Yeah. And so you have a background with a lot of kind of web standards technologies at Microsoft, right?
Myself? Yeah. I've worked with developer tools since the late 90s. Okay. And yeah, I helped roll out some of the visual interdev tools and worked with .NET, you know, about a decade in that group. So.
Okay, great. And so Ted has been at Microsoft working on SVG, but also Aldis and Visio, right?
So, yeah, long time in doing graphics applications on Windows and now doing graphics in the browser for IE, and very excited about SVG and the other work we're doing. So.
Okay, great. So you know, anybody out there watching, send your at CH9Live. Let us know what your questions are for our panel here. So I'll kick it off. So, you know, probably 8 years ago when I was, you know, working on the XML team, we wrote all of our specs in XML, we used SVG, you know, had some nice plugins that would let us render our things in SVG, and somewhere after that it was kind of like, you know, SVG died. So, you know, everybody stopped talking about it, you know, everybody just figured it's gone. So, what's happened? I mean, it's now, you know, we saw these demos today. It's just this, you know, staggeringly fast performance, doing, you know, beautiful visualizations and stuff. So, you know, you want to start?
So you mean, you mean why did it die? And so maybe it's sort of an undead specification at this point because it's got all the strength of a vampire.
You're trying to get that vampire tie-in, I know.
Exactly.
That,
so. Hollywood, you listening? So, I think the great boon for SVG at the very beginning was that Adobe was really backing it, and they had the Adobe Viewer. And then when they stopped supporting that viewer, I think that that had a chilling effect because people, with no support in IE, people thought, well, is this a technology that's actually viable? IE has such a large market share. And then the other browsers started stepping up and started implementing SVG natively, which was actually sort of the second boom of SVG, and so there are some JavaScript libraries that let you sort of do SVG in IE9 using VML, but I think that this is at this point now. I think that it's pretty much a proven technology. If it's going to be in IE9, it's going to be in every major browser. It's pretty much game over. I mean, there's no SVG is a successful proven technology at this point.
Yep. Yeah, so
I think to go there, I mean, just to add what Doug was saying, maybe at the, you know, at the same time there was sort of a lull in SVG support, you know, that there was really the emergence of Flash and Silverlight as alternatives for one end of that spectrum. Now, in terms of real vector graphics and exchange of, you know, diagrams like you'd take out of Visio or the kind of drawings you take out of CAD systems, I think SVG's really always been there at that lower level, but kind of front and center in the browser discussions. Yeah. You know, a lot of it went to Flash and Silverlight, and now it's coming back with HTML5 to SVG.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's you know, one of the things a lot of people are going to be thinking about, and one of the reasons that we're talking to the Channel 9 audience about this is the types of things that we're seeing people be able to do now with SVG are just so powerful and so fast. And so I think that's going to be, you know, one of the things on people's minds is, you know, do we see this as something that people are going to be using for casual games, for, you know, line of business apps on the web, and that sort of thing? I mean, is this where we want to take SVG?
Well, you know, I kind of see it as, and you talked about it being a bit dead, I kind of tier the different scenarios that are out there. when SVG 1.0 was kind of first out there and Adobe came out, it was mostly these static diagrams, these floor plans or CAD drawings and things like this, and it didn't go much further than that.
Right.
And then as we analyzed kind of the scenarios we looked at, when we talked to our customers, when we looked at what was there, we started to see some potential for more interactive graphics. Some purely SVG, where maybe I'm doing pathfinding. This is a technology that's used on Bing today, that's used on Google Maps today. SVG is used as pathfinding. And then when you layer it in with the HTML, that's when you've got the, I'm now sort of a standard markup with HTML on it, and you start landing yourself in a lot more scenarios that you wouldn't think of before. So yeah, charts, business graphics, but more interactivity than we've seen before with graphics.
Yeah, and I think that's a key thing. You know, you mentioned that it's just kind of part of the platform, you know, that it integrates with the JavaScript, the DHTML, and so on.
Well, that's huge. I mean, the way you program the SVG elements is very much the way you'd program the HTML elements. You can style SVG shapes with CSS the same way you'd style the HTML content in your file. You can use the same JavaScript kind of language, or I mean, not language, but even techniques. I mean, you can just grab the ID of an element, get that element, change its properties, and it's very familiar. So the whole programming model is very familiar and consistent with the way you're doing all the other stuff in your web page and website.
So people who already have skills in CSS, HTML, JavaScript, they can take those skills directly and translate them to SVG. Of course, there's going to be a learning curve, as there is with any new language. You can start a little bit. The nice thing is you'll be able to start a little bit with SVG, learn a few simple things about SVG, and then progress. And as you need more, you can learn more about the language. And I think another aspect of it is that you as the web platform expands, as new APIs are developed in browsers, they're available to HTML, they're available to SVG. It's that sort of model. It's a tight integration.
And, well, that's been a huge part of when we've looked at SVG. For IE9, it's always been part of this larger, you know, HTML5 effort where it's really integrated. I mean, even just the CSS styling, if you just want the fonts and the font sizes consistent between your HTML content and your SVG content, again, using common CSS to style both works. And that's really amazing. I mean, and it just, whether you want the colors to match or the fonts to match, You can do that in a common way. It's not one world for your graphics and a different world for the rest of your site.
Yeah, and I think this, touching on the fact that this is a platform brings up one of the other key points that you guys made in the keynote this morning, that, you know, the browser just used to be an app that ran in the operating system, and, you know, now there's more and more applications running in the browser. And you guys talked a little bit about, you know, getting closer down into hardware acceleration and things like that. So do you want to talk about that just from what you were thinking about as you were building IE9?
Well, I think performance across the board, as you're saying, as you try to build more complicated things, whether you're running more complicated JavaScript or doing more complicated graphics, performance can get in your way. So the way that as a platform creator you try to get that out of their way is you... In our case, we hardware accelerate the graphics using the full DirectX stack, and you do great work in the JavaScript to improve that. You try to improve the performance all the way across the browser. And that's really, I don't think, any different than what every platform vendor does every release. Windows 7 is faster than Vista, and you do it there, and you make the browsers better as a platform as you move forward. The big difference for IE9 is the hardware acceleration of graphics, which really changes the whole equation of performance.
Yeah, and we're not just talking about SVG there.
Oh,
right?
No. We hardware accelerate text rendering, image rendering, which probably pays off more than anything, really. Yeah. Accelerating the images at the GPU level is amazing. But the text rendering, the boxes, the borders on there, everything you can do in HTML, including the SVG, is hardware accelerated.
Great. All right, so just another reminder for people watching online, you can ask questions at channel 9 at CH9 Live, and we'll take the questions. The audience can also ask questions, so I'll probably start heckling and picking people to ask questions here in a minute. But let's take our first Twitter question. The question is, how do you see the role that ACID-3 plays in SVG? And I would think this may be more of a general question about, you know, testing. You know, how do you test SVG and make sure that there's interop between browsers?
Well, the general case is great. ACID-3 in particular, what is it?
ACID-3
five or six tests?
Six SVG tests.
Six, yeah.
And the way I would characterize them is that two focus on the document structure, and then there's two focused on the declarative animation, and then there's two focused on the SVG fonts module.
So you could just pass six tests and be done with SVG, right?
Well, that's what's funny.
You joke about it, all
you care about is ACID-3, right? You can pass six tests and have nothing useful, but you can pass ACID-3.
Awesome.
So it's really when you get to the broader test suite, and the W3C has a fairly comprehensive test suite from 2006. We've just contributed another 100 tests?
No, we did about 30, but this is something Doug and I have been talking about on the working group. It's like there does not exist a quite full spectrum of conformance tests for SVG, so we're expanding those now within the working group. We submitted 30, 31 this morning, and the working group works on those constantly. You know, ACID-3 is a test that's been out there for a while that tests things that are very particular for SVG. And that's in the case of fonts, smile, and document structure.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the SAT, right? My kids are going off to college now. They take the SAT. You know, it tests different pieces of knowledge across a spectrum. It doesn't tell you if you learned everything you're supposed to learn in high school. It just tests some things out there, and ACID-3 does that. It tests 100 interesting things at the test level and more things at the sub-test level, but it in no way is a comprehensive test suite.
Right, and even a test suite isn't a completely interoperability test suite. That would be that's a larger goal. But one of the things I've been talking with Patrick and several others about is the idea the SVG interest group, which is sort of an ancillary group, is interested in doing what we call the SVG torture tests. ACID-3 is a little bit of an abstraction. It's nothing anybody would want to necessarily do. But whereas the torture tests are aimed at pain points that where somebody encounters something that doesn't quite work right in some browser, and so they pinpoint that, and by having a bunch of torture tests that all the browsers can say, yes, we're gonna fix these edge cases, we'll be able to keep honing in on having better and better SVG support that it can be used just pragmatically every day in the real world.
You know, I got to say, and that's been a part of the great experience. We ended up joining the working group in January, and from day one, I was a little shy about saying, you know, we found this not working quite in this browser, and everybody was so responsive, said, well, okay, we're going to fix that, or, you know, let's fix the language of the spec so it's clear, and everybody would go back and fix those bugs. So the future at SVG is interoperability, which is
great,
which is right where we need
to be. So it sounds like most of the browser vendors are working pretty good. Do you want to call out any in particular that aren't working very good with you? Or
anybody Doug works with.
Okay, yeah. All right, so we have another question coming in on Twitter. And for the audience out there, at CH9Live, if you want to ask a question, anybody in the audience seated here, you can wave down Elvis, and he'll come over with the microphone, or just raise your hand, and I'll see you. This is at Feared.
Ferd
asks, do you expect to pass all the SVG tests you have submitted to the W3C once IE9 goes final? So that's one of Doug's friends.
Maybe I shouldn't say his name. But anyway, he's an SVG developer, and he's a real strong community supporter. He's a really good
guy. Actually, the name's familiar.
I'll take it.
Yep. Okay, great.
Go. Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we plan to pass the test we submit. We plan to pass the test in the existing W3 test suite. Again, for the functionality we implement. And we'll be real upfront. We're not going to implement everything in the spec in the first release. Yep. So if there's a test that tests, you know, feature A, and we didn't do feature A, then we won't pass that test. But we're going to pass all the tests for the stuff that we implement, absolutely.
And all the tests that you submit are things that you expect to pass.
Yeah, generally the tests we submit are the ones that we're implementing. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have the knowledge to write the test.
Right.
All right, so you know, while we're waiting for some more questions from Twitter, that I'd like to segue into a quick question about, you know, there's certain features that obviously won't be implemented in SVG and IE9. There's certain features that aren't implemented in other browsers as well. So, you know, in the period between versions and as people are updating their SVG support, how do you guys envision the, you know, developers being able to transition to SVG and be able to build on SVG?
You want to take that first?
Sure. Well, I alluded to this earlier that there's going to be, there are already script libraries that will let you use SVG code in earlier versions of IE. For example, there's a project called SVG Web by a guy named Brad Newberg from Google and some other people.
Yeah, he was formerly Dojo Offline and Gear. Yeah, yes. Yeah,
so and he's a brilliant guy. And he and it was also other people. I mean, so I don't want to downplay their role, but I've most directly interacted with Brad. But SVG Web takes SVG that it encounters inline an HTML page, or if it's referenced you know, as an external image, and it is a JavaScript library that converts it into Flash and has it rendered in Flash. So SVG support through Flash, which is a little ironic. And there's also actually another project that does the exact opposite, that renders Flash in SVG. When Flash is blocked or something like that.
Well, it's software, you know, you can.
But there are other.
So what's the scenario for rendering Flash as SVG?
Well, if Flash as SVG, if someone is using a Flash blocker, then right. They'd be able to still see the content. But I also want to mention.
Those are generally ads.
Like an ad blocker, yeah.
True, but it's a script library, so they're the ones telling you what happens as a user. You're not telling. But let's not get into that because nobody's going to make ads in SVG. That's not a use case for SVG.
No, but we're also talking, like, even in IE9, so we have SVG. But say we're missing a feature, such as smile-based animation.
Right.
But there's a lot of script libraries that do animation of SVG. So, I mean, I don't know all the
like
specifics.
I think I may have written the first and weakest script library that takes what my library does. And there's actually a couple of others that do this afterward, have done this since. It looks through the document, finds any animation elements, and then emulates those in JavaScript. There's actually a much better library called Fake Smile, and there are other libraries that are just pure JavaScript. They don't even bother looking for Smile, like Raphael.js, or Raphael is actually the name of the project, Ample SDK, Dojo. There's several that will render SVG, and including animations and things like that, where it's supported, and it will render VML in where it's not supported. So there's a good transition strategy when you're using these JavaScript libraries. If there's a feature, like you said, exactly, if there's an animation feature you guys don't support, that could be added weekly, but still, you know, somewhat of the support for it using script.
Yeah, I mean, the way I think about it, we get a chance to talk about this tomorrow in our talk. We're going to be straight out forward about what we're not supporting in SVG and IE9.
They're not supporting the circle element, the path element.
I mean, a couple that come to mind is we're not going to be delivering Smile. It is a declarative animation system. It is a good one. We're looking, though, at what CSS will be doing with that space and animations. And if you saw the keynote, you saw that you can easily animate SVG. And there's no tooling for it. So we want to really think about how Smile wraps around both HTML and SVG as we look out. And that's where the SVG and CSS working groups are coming together.
Yeah.
And the other one is SVG fonts. We're just going to come and be honest. We're not going to do SVG fonts. Mm-hmm. SVG still supports
in
9, thank you. SVG still supports fonts, but just not the SVG font module. So.
Oh, yeah. They're going to support it. Trust me.
Eventually, that'll get us to support it. But I just want to be honest about what we're doing in 9.
All right. So, so we had a question here on Twitter that came in asking about what's not supported. So, yeah, the fonts and Smile. There's another, I'll just deal with this one quickly.
No filters, okay.
No filters, yeah. So,
the big three we're not doing, Doug. Give them all.
Those are the big three challenges, right?
Yeah.
Those are the big three challenges. I figured.
No, and they're typically the ones that don't go in that first release.
Firefox has still not got Smile animation. It will, they're working on it. They only recently added really good filter support, and I think they're still working on SVG fonts. So it's those are the typical three. That don't, I mean, it's not surprising at all, but I'm very disappointed in you.
All right, so Ive Insomnia off of Twitter asked about the user agent string. Yeah, I mean, you can assume we're going to do the same kind of thing with the UA string that we did in the previous two versions. So, yeah, you'll be able to tell that it's IE9.
Well, you'll surely be able to tell it's 9.
Well,
the question is the quote MSIE9.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion.
There's a lot of discussion around compatibility and trying to get sites to be running 9 out of the box. And, you know, a lot of code will sniff for if IE. And that's a great question. What is that UA string going to look like? We're still working on that.
All right. Yeah. So stay tuned to IE blog for more information about that. And I also wanted to mention that we have a Channel 9 video up that should be up now. We have Patrick, Ted featured on Channel 9, a bunch of content about SVG and about IE9 hardware acceleration and so on. So the audience can check those videos out. We'll go ahead. So
Steve Strong wants his question.
I'm a longtime Visio dev since Visio 4.5. Does the shape sheet have place in the future of the web? So are we going to submit that to the W3C?
Well, probably for people that aren't quite familiar with the Visio features. One of the biggest things that I think the innovations of Visio was we had non-uniform scaling and declarative relationships within shapes done, well, sort of through a spreadsheet formula model that we called ShapeSheet. Now, you can do similar things probably with script if you could attach it correctly.
Right.
At the time we did Visio, we took a declarative model, not a procedural model. I think it's a very important thing, but it's also moderately complicated, and where SVG is today, you know, I wouldn't like say let's add it, but actually just before we came on, Doug and I were talking about two things. We talked about connectors and persistent connections between objects.
And semantic sort of connections.
The semantics for connections, because that's very important for connected diagrams, whether it's you're diagramming a computer network or a process flow or an org chart, connections are huge. And then nonlinear sizing of objects. Right. Is an interesting thing, though. I don't think you've kicked that around yet.
We haven't talked about that. We have talked about that in the SVG working group.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm editing a spec that actually talks about making connectors, because I think it's sort of one of the missing pieces of the web, actually, for a platform that's all about linking. Actually, describing links between things visually is not there, and I think that's actually something. I think that's an SVG 2.0 feature.
Great.
Oh, I can take that one.
Yeah, so we have a K Weirso saying, when will the IE9 preview get the nav bar and address bar? It's not really a browser without it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. The preview is not a browser, and it's not going to get turned into a browser.
Yep, that's
so it will never get a nav bar and an address bar. When we ship the IE9 beta, of course, it's the full-up beta of the browser, but the platform preview is not... It's not going to evolve into a browser. It stays a platform preview.
That makes a lot of sense.
All right. So, you know, we've been touching on some of the areas where that IE9 isn't going to implement in SVG. So are there any things that you guys are doing in SVG that the other browsers aren't doing at this point?
Well, certainly the hardware acceleration. I mean, that is the amazing stuff. And anyone can do it, and I shouldn't say definitively because I think... things are hardware accelerated on the Mac, and I know Firefox has been playing with the direct 2D system since we announced it at PDC. But in terms of an all-up A to Z implementation of SVG on the GPU, I think that's what we're bringing to the table. And that turns into performance. So we're going to push ourselves very hard on performance of either both interactive and large SVG diagram.
Yeah, and if anybody in the audience hasn't seen the demos yet, I would encourage them to, you know, I'd encourage you to go out and take a look at the keynote videos when they're published. Go to the test drive site and download them and try them out yourself. The perf is really amazing. So,
Doug, I think you wanted to get something in on that.
Do you want to, about in HTML?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think that the one thing, I wouldn't say not any of other browsers going to do it.
No, going to, but right now I think that you're the only ones who
Yeah, I think at the moment, if you don't turn on a config key or something, right. Platform preview out of the box does SVG.
Well,
we'll
actually just
HTML.
Tell them what.
Yeah,
what
so at HTML5 group, I think it was about a year ago, put out that SVG is going to be part of HTML, and there's just this really lightweight way of within HTML just angle bracket SVG, and you can start painting SVG in there. And that's in the IE9 dev preview as is. Now, I think that, as you were saying, Firefox has a little
toggle
switch.
Yeah, Firefox is yeah,
but,
optional.
And, you know, that's where I think we're the first to the game there otherwise.
Okay, so one other thing I wanted to get on in the vein of that, the past question is, in the keynote, we saw a demo of going into the IE9 developer tools, which are included in the dev preview, and, you know, walking down through the DOM inspector right into SVG nodes and changing those on the fly. So, right. You know, I think this probably, I don't know exactly how much in depth that is in the other browsers, but I think that's another.
I actually played with a lot of them. They do a pretty good job of handling that.
There's a few bugs here and there, but I think
okay, great.
That's one of the really nice things about well, I mean, HTML as being one of the web languages, these tools just work with it. And HTML and SVG, or SVG in HTML. You can do both ways, but SVG inside HTML, it's just live right there. You can do with any of the debugging tools. You can go into the scripts running in SVG. You can do everything. It's great.
I think this is what you're talking about. It's part of the platform. So
right.
You've got the
part
tools
of the platform.
There already.
It's just,
I love the fact that I can use the same style sheet for HTML and SVG. I can use the same script library that maybe was intended to do one thing and just lift it.
Like Dojo or jQuery. Yeah.
One nice thing about the platform, as it were, more and more devices are really just moving to HTML5. Like mobile devices are moving to HTML5, and so. It's not completely there yet, but more and more we're getting to the point where you can. It's the one web idea, right? It's not WAP. It's not like some mobile specific language. It's HTML, and yes, SVG works on the iPhone, right? You can make an SVG HTML app right now that will work on the iPhone, on various kinds of mobile phones,
popular phones,
such as the ones that use Opera or any number of other things. But that whole idea of one web, of mobile devices and desktop devices and big screens as well, they're all converging on this idea of the one web with the three screens. You're always going to need to tweak your content. That's where SVG actually is one of its strengths.
Yeah.
For mobile devices and for big screens, you can actually make SVG such that it scales up correctly down correctly, and it still looks really good.
Okay, great. So we have just a couple minutes left. We have one more Twitter question here. Are you planning on allowing Visio files to be viewed via SVG instead of the Visio viewer in a browser?
Visio 2003 can do a save as SVG, and it's how I test most of my SVG. I create them in Visio and then save as SVG. In platform preview that you have right now, there are a couple features we don't have in platform preview that make viewing Visio diagrams a little troublesome. We don't do the T-span element, which means you won't see a lot of the text, and we don't do markers, so you might not see the arrowheads if you're doing
a
flowchart. IE9, they'll all be there, and you'll absolutely just save as out of Visio, save as SVG, and display it.
And
great.
It just works. All right, so let's give the audience one last chance to ask any questions.
By the way, authoring in Visio, that's for the weak. A real man uses a text editor.
Yeah, I know. Real men do SVG and Notepad.
It's nice that you can use a text editor, right?
That's true. Yeah. Or Illustrator or any vector graphics program.
That's true. Yeah. All right, so I guess in closing, I'll just ask, if people want to go out and start building apps today, you know, start building code, getting ready to create new software, do you think they should consider using SVG? Oh. I mean, is it ready?
Is it ready? Yes, it's running in the IE9 preview, and we're very specific about what we support. I just created a Facebook group book called SVG and Internet Explorer, where I'm hoping to get community to see what they can build with what's there now.
Okay, so everybody out there, sign up for the SVG and Internet Explorer Facebook group.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and you know, part of our big goal with IE9 is interoperability. So. you know, even if it may not all work perfectly today in platform preview one, I mean, you can debug it in Firefox or Chrome or Safari or Opera. And yep. when it comes to SVG in particular, Opera's a great browser. It's got a great implementation, so it's a good place
get
to
ready.
And there's also the idea.
It looks like they're cutting us off now, so
okay.
That's the end. So so thank you very much for coming out and sharing your expertise with the Channel 9 Live audience.
All right.
Thanks very much.